said, Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. God knows I'd love to preach that till my dying breath. That sin does not have dominion over you if you're in Christ. For you're not under the law, how glorious, but under grace. And that's the most, maybe the most glorious tenet in the Word of God. So how come I'm not under law? Because the law is for sinners, lawbreakers. I don't need law. If I'm still a lawbreaker, I need to get saved. If I'm still a sinner, I'm not telling you I don't sin, but if I'm still a sinner, classified a sinner, I need to get saved. But now, we've got to be, this is where it comes, the rub here is you got to be true with yourself, because this only you know. You see? This is condemnation versus grace. And every single human being is under either one or the other. You're either under law or you're under grace. And there is no in between. There is nothing in between law and grace. So which is it? How is it with thee? Law or grace? The greatest tenet in history, not under law. You read that Old Testament and that'll mean something to you. You read that thing, every word of it, and you'll go, my God, I'm sunk. I'm finished. And then you get somewhere, amen. You say, not under law. And that equates to no sin. Because where there's no law, you remember what he said? How glorious is this? There's no sin. He said, where there's no law, sin's not imputed. There is sin. I mean, well, there's sin right there. Nope. I don't see any sin. Because it's not imputed. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Is this not the most incredible thing in this life, this mortal life below? To those of us in Christ, that sin no longer has dominion over me. Free. The Bible says, free from sin. The greatest thing, the reason Christ died, and they won't preach it in any church. They're not preaching it right now. They're preaching a license to sin. They're not preaching free from sin. You see? Well, are you? It's pretty easy. Well, are you? Look at the millions that it dominates, that sin dominates. Millions! I read about it. You can't read the news without it. Domination of sin. Read the news. Go every single article. We could bring the news in here right now. Every single article. Domination of sin. Domination of sin. Domination of sin. The world is lost in sin. But those in Christ Jesus, free from sin. And there's a bonus. Death. Free from sin, free from death. For he, the Bible says in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. That's a type of death prior to this old body dying. And you've got only, you know something about that, you see. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. A lot of scripture this morning. Because I can't do better than Scripture. I can't do better than Scripture. Ephesians 2:1, and you, if it's you, hath he quickened. You see, 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine your own selves whether you be in the faith. And you, if it's you, hath he quickened, who were, past tense, who were dead in trespasses and sin. You were, but you're not anymore. He said, you're able to sit in heavenly places. My God, have we lost the power? Where have we gone? In light of such great salvation, how come we always seem in bondage? Hey man, I'm preaching in the mirror. Under principalities, powers. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, you should write these scriptures. He said, and especially this scripture, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. You ever read that? My God, we ought to read it every day. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. That's why they don't like us. Because when they see us, they see the perdition that's in them. They're my adversary. That's why the devil doesn't like it. That's why his minions don't like it. No wonder they hate us. It's perdition to them, you see? So, of which faith are you? That of the world, the law, or that of Christ, grace? Are you crucified with Christ, yet live? That's what he said. I'm crucified with Christ, Galatians 2. But yet I live. And he said, yet not you. No, not you, because you can't do that very well. He said, but Christ in you. Is it so hard to see who these are? Is it so hard? It's really not to see who these are. How mortal are you really, or eternal? Can't you see the difference in those that are mortal and those that are eternal? That's why I'm not worried about dying. And I know my time's coming. I'm eternal. If I haven't gotten past that already, I've got a lot more trouble than this. You see? If any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Where is the supernatural power of your religion? Where did it go? Is it checked at the door? Where is the power of God through Christ? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? What is it to me? He said, it is the power of God unto salvation. Glory to God. I'm not ashamed because it's the power of God on me unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that's where people get confused in Galatians 4 in Christ, because in Christ there is no male or female or Jew or Greek, but only in Christ. And everything else in the world there is, you see. And that's you. But how often do we see more as those that are defeated? Where's our light? Where's our salt? Where's our light on the hill? Are we not yet more than conquerors? You get to Rome, my favorite chapter in the Word of God, Romans chapter 8, and you look at verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Well, there you go. No matter what happens to you today, tomorrow. No, no. We're more than conquerors. More, not conquerors. More than conquerors. The Bible is so extreme. Oh, we're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors in Christ. Where's your cross? I've asked you many, many times. Where is that cross that he told you to bear? That inevitable faith brought to bear with you at every hour. Where is it? That with which you have the glory. Paul said, turn if you would to Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Paul said, but God forbid. Now this is always keep in mind, when I think of Paul, the first thing I think of, well, wait a minute, this was a religious guy. He got over his religion, fortunately. He was a law guy. He went from a law guy to a grace guy. And he said, but God forbid that I should glory. He said, except for one thing. Wait a minute. He said, wait a minute, there's something I glory in. And that's for you and me, okay? Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look, by whom what happened? The world's crucified to me, and I unto the world. My God. The world? I don't care about the world. It's crucified to me. I'm crucified to it. You see where we've made a wrong turn? Somewhere we made a wrong turn. We got off the old path. Because I'm putting you, as Peter said, I'm just putting us in remembrance. Let's get back. Back to Bethel. Back to that day on the porch. Let's get back. We had that power, and nothing they could do could take it from us. We had it. This glorious thing before us. And yet without power, we venture forth just like everybody else. Is the cross without effect in our life anymore? Are you this new creature? Our text says, but a new creature. I knew you all when you were. Every one of you. I thought about this all week. God gave me this message. I came out of sickness. I came out of the COVID storm. And I said, man, I don't know. Because I always go, I wonder if I'll ever get another message from God. Will I receive something from God? And God got me up in the night. And he gave me this word. And I said, I'm going to live to preach again. And I knew you all when you were just like this. Man, you were blazing with fire. Every one of you. I knew you all. But it seems like sometimes as a turtle, we retreat back into the shell of this world below. So I ask you this, where did the supernatural you go? Quit being natural. Quit falling back into the natural trap. Because we are still just flesh. Now that to me is backsliding. God's given us this thing, and we fall back. And we don't have an excuse for it. I knew each and every one of you in this power. Even those of you that, some of you that are listening on the television. I knew every one of you in this power. Every one of you. And I've witnessed that power in every one of you. You were supernatural. Are you now natural like those about you? I don't see a difference in our lives and theirs. All our business seems the same now. It really does. I'm sorry. Oh, we were cleaner. We dressed a little different. We might speak a little different. But is that really the litmus test? For a new creature in Christ? I really don't find that. Because a lot of people are like that.
We've met a lot of them. Amish, God knows what else. You see? So let's think, let's look at those before us, our examples. John the Baptist. He's a little different. That guy's a little different. I'd stay away from him. All he does is walk around and yell, repent. All he ever does is yell at me. Do you see how he's dressed? He eats weird stuff. Remember Brimer? Brimer, go to the garden and grab raw okra and eat it. And I go, are you crazy, Brimer? John the Baptist. Camel hair. Leather girdle. Is that guy a bandito or what? Where's his Harley? Elijah. Whoa. How about Elisha? Cursed all them kids. Man, that's a creepy dude. He called a bear out and killed 50 kids. Isaiah. I was just talking to Uncle Dennis about that this week. He said, I can't believe that people don't know the God of the Bible. I said, they don't know the God of the Bible. They don't know him. They don't know anything about him. They don't know anything about Christ. They don't know anything about God of the Bible. I said, Isaiah walked naked. Think about that, Dennis. You're in Ohio. Want to try walking naked for 3 years? How you like that deal? Of course, then I told him about Jeremiah burying his underwear and digging them up and wearing them. And poor old Ezekiel told to eat human crap. And God says, okay, I'll give you a break. Eat cow crap. Sorry for my word. I don't know the word. Yeah, they're a little different. You know how they were different? In power. That power. And they appear as strangers in this world below. You see? You see the difference? But we kind of seem like religious artifacts. Coming across perhaps more, people thought we're Amish and Catholic and nuns and priests. I don't think we come across like John the Baptist or Peter. He's talking to Melissa about Peter, this Galilean fisherman. Man, he's got to look like one of them derelicts from Flower Bluff. You know? If Peter was here today, he'd have the Flower Bluff ropers, the white rubber shrimp boots. You know? A vulgar Galilean. Where is our power in this rugged cross that we profess? You know, that cross is still on the ground at the country club. I did a wedding at the country club, and the boy I did the wedding for, he built a, it's really kind of cool looking. He built this cross out of cross ties, railroad cross ties, and he stuck it in the ground. And nobody's ever come and dug it up, so it's still in the ground. But it's interesting because Ronnie and Judy Beck the other day told me, they call it, I said, you know, the cross is still in the ground. They've used it for quinceañeras and weddings and everything, and that big cross is in the middle of this, in the middle of the golf course at the country club. We got this big cross. And they call it a rent-a-cross. And that's what it is. It's a rent-a-cross. Oh, you want a wedding? We'll go rent the cross at the country club. You know, that's what church has become, and I'm afraid that's what it became for you and me. Oh, rent a church. You see? You rent it for religious purposes. Is that what we do every Sunday? Where is that power that you used to bring? Where's your word from the Lord? Because if he's not speaking to you, you got some other problems. You see? I saw it many... When I used to look across the tabernacle... Man, I still remember that thing. I can see Pee Wee. I can see the Crockett's. I can see the Amish. I can see where all those people sat. Everybody always sat in the same place, so it was real easy for me as a preacher. And that's why when I knew somebody's missing. Because people are creatures of habit, and that I'm the guy that would change pews all the time. The guy would go, I wonder if he's here. But other people, they come and they always sit in the same place. And so I knew exactly where everyone was, and I knew exactly when I'm making a point, I'm looking at her, or I'm looking at him, or I'm looking at them. Because I got them in my sights. I know where they are, and God's laid them out for me. And I'd look out across that old tabernacle, and I saw the power in each and every one of you. I did. You may not believe it. You probably didn't know it. But I saw the power in each and every one of you. Is he not present when two or three are gathered? Has he gone away just because we don't have that old building? We are the building. We are the tabernacle. Where is his power, this presence? I heard Lloyd Jones say, I kind of fell out with him a little bit this week. That's another story. But anyway, he said that there's no longer an open vision of Christ, or else we'd all be apostles. Well, I go, my answer to that is, well, I guess we're all apostles. Because he says that the Damascus Road was an unusual experience. To me, the Damascus Road is the only, you hear me? The Damascus Road is the only experience. But is it so? You see, I find Christ no other way. I can't find Christ any other way. It's the way he came to me. So you tell me that you've been to this cross, that you're crucified with Christ. We've read the scriptures. But you've not seen Christ. Who hung on that tree? Back in Romans chapter 6. This was Brother James' favorite chapter, Romans chapter 6. And verse 5 through 8, and he says, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. What a glorious thing. Just stop there. If you didn't read anything else all day, how glorious would that be? How powerful would that be? Knowing this, that our old man's crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe, we shall also live with him. Are these just memory verses? Is the power of heaven now of non-effect? You know my favorite verse. Romans 8, 9, you're not in the flesh, you're in the spirit. If so be the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Simple, pretty simple. Straightforward, simple, direct, you see. You're either his or you're either none of his. Where's the warfare we used to sing of? I say used to. My favorite song, Warfare. Couldn't wait to play it. I'd get bored, but not with Warfare. Man, I'd jack that capo up there, man, get up there and see and do a bunch of wild, crazy runs and try to throw the girl off, and I'd crank down on that thing, and I'd change the tempo through the whole song. She knew it. Nobody else knew it. I'd change the tempo on that thing on purpose. I go, let's do this tempo. Sing it this way. This armor of God. Do we now but sing of it? We don't even sing of it anymore. When the girl sang that, it really meant something to me. It really did. It meant so much to me. When she sang that song, I understood it. I understood it. It had power, and it meant something to me. Maybe it didn't to you, but it did to me. Where did it go? It was a battle cry. It was just glorious. Where'd it go? I'm not picking on her. But I'm going to tell you that home and husband and kids have no bearing on this war and this power. The things in this life, no matter what it is, they have no bearing on this. We're above this. Where did it go? And I miss it. Back in Romans 8, we read one of the verses. Thirty-six through 39, as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, you see? He said, I don't believe, I don't think. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. He's persuaded. And then you turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Excuse me. Verse 35 through verse 39. He said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now what? You know this. The just shall what? Live by faith. But if any man, now look, this is what I'm warning you about. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so you go back and you go back to Galatians chapter 6, 14 and 15. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world's crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Amen. I too often feel like we live as the old creatures bogged in this world below. Where are all the things become new? Finally, almost finally, next to last, the penultimate would be 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you know what the penultimate is. Starting in verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them. I'll walk in them. I'll be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now that was penultimate. The ultimate is in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8 in the Old Testament. And then we're done. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5 and verse 6. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. For he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord. And the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. And they lifted up their hands and they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. These are Old Testament saints. Look at us. Just another Sunday reading the book. How sad. Did we outgrow religion? Look at verse 10. Then he said unto them, Go your way. Eat the fat. Oh, glorious. Eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our God, unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. And how do you like that? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'd ask where it is, the new creature, your strength, the joy of the Lord. I look not for the old, but for the new creature.